A reading from the book of the prophet Hosea. Come, let us return to the Lord. It is he who has rent, but he will heal us. He has struck us, but he will bind our wounds. He will revive us after 2 days. On the third day, he will raise us up to live in his presence. Let us know. Let us strive to know the Lord. As certain as the dawn is coming and his judgment shines forth like the light of day, he will come to us like the rain, like spring rain that waters the earth. What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah? Your piety is like a morning cloud, like the dew that early passes away. For this reason, I smote them through the prophets. I slew them by the words of my mouth. For it is love that I desire, not sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
It is mercy I desire and not sacrifice.
It is mercy
I desire and not sacrifice. Have mercy on me, O God, in your goodness, in the greatness of your compassion, wipe out my offense. Thoroughly wash me from my guilt, and of my sin cleanse me. For you are not pleased with sacrifices. Should I offer a burnt offering? You would not accept it. My sacrifice, O God, is a contrite spirit, a heart contrite and humbled. O God, you will not spurn.
It is mercy I desire, not sacrifice.
Be bountiful, O Lord, to Zion in your kindness by rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Then shall you be pleased with due sacrifices, burnt offerings, and holocausts.
Dominus vobiscum. Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. Two people went up to the temple area to pray. One was a Pharisee, and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position and spoke this prayer to himself. O God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulteress, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week, and I pay tithes on my whole income. But the tax collector stood off at a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. Verbum Domini. Do you know who Saint John of Matha is? He lived from the years 1160 until 1213. He died at the age of 53. But as a young man, he had a great love for the poor. He would help the poor on Fridays. He would go to the hospital to visit the sick and assist the care of the sick. So he had this compassionate heart for those who had need. And he had some means to be able to help them, and so he did. But later, he felt inspired to begin a new order, the Order of the Most Holy Trinity. He was a co-founder of that community, popularly known as the Trinitarians. And it was when he offered his first Mass that he had an experience of Christ with two people who were in chains, who were enslaved. And so he would, as this community would, receiving the approval of Pope Innocent III, that he would go to ransom slaves in the slave markets. And this was happening in North Africa, where Christians were being taken into slavery. And so he would pay for their ransom. He'd pay the ransom. He would buy them back. And this would require a lot of money to be able to do this. And so he turned to Our Lady, and he prayed that Our Lady would help provide the means so that these Christian slaves could be released. And so well did Our Lady help in this venture that he honored her with a special title, Our Lady of Good Remedy. In fact, the friars are in a novena right now to Our Lady of Good Remedy. Mother Angelica had a great devotion to Our Lady of Good Remedy because of the many financial needs of the network. But I begin with that because I think we need to know what our terms are. What are our terms? And so the opening collect of today's Mass that I just prayed, I said these words: We pray, O Lord, that with our hearts set on the Paschal mysteries. What are the Paschal mysteries? We'll talk about that. That with our hearts set on the Paschal mysteries, we may be gladdened by their full effects. So, you know, the Catechism has a glossary in the back. So if there's terms you don't completely understand or you want to understand better, it's got a wonderful glossary where it has a short definition of these different terms that we often hear. And then it has references also to paragraphs where you can dig a little bit deeper to understand. So first of all, let's look at the word redemption. Christ paid the price of his own sacrificial death on the cross to ransom us, to set us free from the slavery of sin, thus achieving our redemption. So John of Matha was inspired by Christ to ransom those Christians who were enslaved, so that they could have their earthly freedom. But Christ is ransoming us from a much, much greater slavery, the slavery of sin. He's liberating us by his own sacrifice, his own passion, and his death. He's redeeming us. You know, we redeem cans and bottles, where we bought the particular products, the store buys them back. Well, Christ has bought us back from this slavery of sin by his own death. And then let's look at this term, Paschal Mysteries. What are the Paschal Mysteries? And so that, again, that opening prayer, we pray, O Lord, with our hearts set on the Paschal Mysteries, we may be gladdened by their full effects. Here's the definition. The Paschal Mystery, Christ's work of redemption, accomplished principally by his passion, death, resurrection, and glorious ascension, whereby dying he destroyed our death, and rising he restored our life. Well, how do we celebrate this? How do we come into contact with what Christ accomplished? The definition continues. The Paschal Mystery is celebrated and made present in the liturgy of the church. And its saving effects are communicated through the sacraments, especially the Eucharist. And so it will also say in further paragraphs in here that when we gather for the liturgy, as we do this morning, there are three things that are taking place. These Paschal Mysteries are being manifested, they're being made present, and they're being communicated to us. So they're being manifested. You know, during this season of Lent, I always love the fact that we just focus on the central message, right, of our faith. And that's so important for us to do that. And at the Easter Vigil, we go through the whole of salvation history, which culminates, of course, in Christ's passion, death, and his glorious resurrection and ascension into heaven. And so these are, they're spoken to us, that we hear the saving truth of the gospel. We have the Old Testament, so we see these prefigurements and then how they are completed in Christ. So these Paschal Mysteries then are manifested to us in the liturgy in a particular way through the liturgy of the word that we have. And then they're made present to us. And so even for the Jewish people, that these, the Passover feast, for example, was not just a remembrance, but it was made present. And so it is that these saving mysteries are made present to us. What Christ accomplished on Calvary, his glorious resurrection, it's all made present to us here. And that's why it was always important, it was always the Mass that mattered. Why the Irish people would celebrate Mass in the middle of the night on the Mass rocks. They could pray in their homes, and they did. But they wanted the Mass. They wanted those Paschal Mysteries made present to them in a way that otherwise it wasn't. And then finally, that these Paschal Mysteries are communicated to us. We benefit from them. The Catechism speaks of a real participation, a real share in Christ's life that takes place through the sacraments, and in particular in the Eucharist, that we really do participate. And so by his passion and death, he's destroyed our death. He's ransomed us. He's bought us back from the slavery of sin. And by his resurrection and ascension, now we have this new life. We're living in a new era. It's the era of the dispensation of the mysteries, The dispensation of all the graces that Christ has won for us is now communicated to us through the sacraments, and in a particular way, in the Holy Eucharist, in the Mass. You know, our prayer over the offerings today will say these words. It says, I will pray, grant we pray, that in reverently handing them on, we may offer you fitting homage. You know, that really means tradition, to hand over. In reverently handing them on, these mysteries, this is our greatest treasure. You know, I'm a gardener, and you know what heirloom seeds are? Heirloom seeds are ones that are handed on from generation to generation because the ancestors that we have, they treasured these plants, they treasured these fruits, and they wanted you to benefit, their future generations to benefit from the seeds. Well, we have the greatest heirloom, the gift of the liturgy, where these paschal mysteries are communicated to us, and we benefit from them. You know, one time, and I've told this story before, when I was in the Atlanta airport, and I often like to walk around in between flights to get a little exercise, but see what the Lord might stir up, too. And this young man, probably about 20 years old, was in a Protestant seminary, and he was asking me about my Franciscan garb. And so I was telling him I was a Catholic priest, and he was now in his second seminary. He got dissatisfied with the first one, and now he's in a different group. And he had all these questions. And I said, you know what I think really is an important question for us to ask? What did the early Christians do? How did they worship God? And I said, what we can learn as we read these early Christian writers. And it turned out this young man's name was Justin. And I said, you ever hear of St. Justin? He was a martyr. He died about 155 AD. And he wrote a letter to the Emperor of Rome in which he describes what the Christians did. This is shortly after the time of the apostles. And he said that they gathered on Sunday, the Lord's Day, that they read from the prophets and the memoirs of the apostles, and then were exhorted in the things we've just heard. The memoirs of the apostles, which we call gospels, were exhorted in things we've just heard. There was a collection taken up for the poor. And then bread and wine mixed with water were brought up, and he who presides offers thanksgiving to the best of his ability, and we all answer, Amen. And he said that we receive these things not as ordinary food and drink, but as the flesh and blood of the incarnate Jesus. So we have been taught. This is what's been handed on to us. This is part of the tradition that Christ gave to us. He preached in the synagogue, liturgy of the word. He said, do this in remembrance of me. He gives us the Eucharist. Liturgy of the word, the liturgy of the Eucharist. From the earliest days, this is what has been handed on to us. And then finally, the prayer after Holy Communion. May we truly revere, O merciful God, these holy gifts by which you ceaselessly nourish us. And may we always partake of them with abundant faith in our heart. God ceaselessly nourishes us in these wonderful paschal mysteries that are communicated to us in a reception of the Holy Eucharist today. God ceaselessly nourishes us. And the final point that I'd like to make is how the liturgy, too, brings us to live these mysteries, these gospel truths and values. How do we begin the Mass? Through my fault, through my fault, through my most grievous fault. We repeated what the Lord said, justify this tax collector. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's how we begin. Before we receive Holy Communion, we repeat the words of the centurion. Lord, I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but just say the word, and my soul will be healed. so we come acknowledging that we're not worthy, but we're also looking at him, the one who wants to heal us. So John of Matha had compassion for those slaves that he wanted to redeem, but Christ has this far greater compassion that he imparted to John of Matha and that he has for each of us today, and that he invites us to share in his life and love forever.